Welcome to the Rundown.
Son of a bitch.
They're so cute together.
Lynn, did you see this?
I love him so much with everything in my soul.
You can't really go wrong with either because you're going to get a big-ass pop regardless.
Welcome to the Rundown.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It has been probably over a month at this point since Lynn and I released one of our episodes of the Rundown Wrestling Podcast. Not with the entire crew. But if you want to go see our best of 2019 Super Show, head on over to our YouTube page. It's the entire crew. It's myself, Linz, Chris, Gil, Mike, and Tony giving you our very best in as many categories as you could possibly think of in the world of professional wrestling. But Linz, how the hell are you?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
You know what? You sound good. And I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad we're back.
I'm glad we're back too. Linz, for the people that may have missed over the past, I don't know, month and a half, you have a new Twitter handle.
Kill me, please.
So something happened with Twitter. Everyone knows they're cracking down on the smallest bullshit. So Linz has
I threatened to punch a racist and got banned. Let's keep it real.
Is that what happened?
Yes, I threatened to punch a racist who was openly racist. They did not get banned. I got banned for threatening to punch them. But okay, Twitter.
Yeah, I smell collusion.
Yeah, a little bit. Twitter's racist. You heard it here first.
Twitter's racist. You heard it here first.
Ha! Got he! Got he!
And the sound effects are back!
Isn't everybody excited?
I'm very excited. Linz, but what I honestly am excited to talk about is what we're going to go over today. We have a bunch of shit happening, and this is our first episode in the year of 2020. So happy new year, everyone. We hope you guys had a fantastic holiday season with your loved ones. And we hope that if you get a chance to listen to this, you can hear the sincerity in our voice. And I hope you had some great food. That's what everyone does around the holiday season. So Linz, we're going to talk about some good shit. We're going to talk about Marty Scurll. We're still on the Marty watch. We still want to know where Marty's going to end up. And I don't want your opinion right now, Linz, but how are you feeling? Are you confident in where you see him going?
Yeah. I'm about 99.9% sure.
All right. And we're going to jump into that. We're also going to jump into the recent Lars Sullivan controversy. Don't worry.
Ha.
You're going to want to hear this. We're going to talk about a certain couple in the WWE who just got engaged, a couple of high-profile names.
Woo!
We're going to talk about the state of Raw and SmackDown because, Linz, as you and I and a lot of people have been talking online, a lot of the buzz has not been around Raw and SmackDown.
That was the perfect opportunity for the toilet flushing, by the way.
I got rid of the toilet flushing, but I do have this.
Okay, I'll take that.
I feel like that's okay.
No, I like that. I like that better. It's not as, you know, disgusting. So
perfect. Perfect. We're going to talk about the state of Raw and SmackDown. Basically, when we say that, it's how everyone's putting all their chips in the AEW, NXT, Wednesday Night War stuff. So we're going to jump into that. We're going to jump into the wedding segment that we had on Raw between Lana and Bobby Lashley. And I know that Linz has a lot to say about this.
Groundhog.
Just the little bastard spinning his head quick.
I love that.
It's the best. Linz, I know you got a lot to say about that, so trust me, we're going to jump into it. We, of course, are going to talk about the biggest pay-per-view in the year of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that is Wrestle Kingdom 14. which is 2 days long, which is mind-blowing. But we're going to jump into it. We're going to talk about a possible New Japan and AEW partnership forming, maybe. Hmm. And Linz and I are going to end the episode with some of our personal favorite experiences that we had traveling and covering some of these shows, or maybe it was attending certain shows that we weren't there as credentialed media, but hey, just wanted to go and support. Linz, are you ready to kick it off? Are you ready to give them what they want?
Of course I am.
That's what I like to hear, Linz. And let's start it out with something that just happened and is currently still happening today, being January 2nd, 2020. And it is this Twitter war that has started from an angle on this past episode of AEW of Penelope Ford low-blowing Joey Janela. Backstory, Penelope Ford and Joey Janela dated for a while.
I don't recall.
And that was kind of the reason that she got her contract was of Janela. Some would say, I'm not going to say that's confirmed. You know what I mean? But Linz, what happened on Twitter today between these two? Because I got to hear it, and I know you've been dying.
Okay, so, well, this started 17 hours ago, technically.
Okay.
Joey, the little angel he is, tweeted, and I'm reading these word for word. Hey, at the Penelope Ford, if you wanted to touch my penis again, all you had to do was ask. Well, followed by her response, which was 6 hours ago. So just saying it took her a long time. Pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm surprised I could even find it. Now, at the Kip Sabians is so much easier to place. You sound like a whore. And then
yeah.
Joey said, hey now, calm down, Tammy. This penis got you a contract.
Whoa, oh, wait. Hold on. Where'd it go? Oh, shit. I lost it.
Wow.
Fuck. I had a great sound effect there. I'll find it. Keep going.
Well, you could use it for the next one, too. So then, from Penelope Ford's account, says, hey, champ. Kip here. Sorry, but Penelope can't make it to the phone right now. Her hands are full. So is her mouth, if we're being honest. Hope your mum's making you something nice for dinner. Remember to eat your vegetables. Like, oof. Can we make this woman into a bigger whore or no? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
So Joey responds, too much information, Kipperoo. You must be pretty bored because you and I know she isn't very good at that. Maybe you don't know because you've only had sex with two girls in your entire life. I have
this
to
is
say,
getting serious.
I love Joey more than I did, and I didn't think it was humanly possible.
I didn't either.
But my God, he's great. First of all, he said, hey, now calm down, Tammy, which yeah. just makes it so much better.
He's just going for the throat. Like, there is nothing is off limits. And I don't even know if they have agreed to do this in the back. If so, that's kind of cool that they can just get past everything. But like, if they haven't agreed, what'd you say?
I feel like that's not the case, though.
No,
I genuinely think they dislike each other.
Oh my God, I would love it.
Like, there's no way. Like, first of all, let's talk about this real quick. Kip is totally stealing Joey's image. He's trying to be Joey. Like, oh, you're super bad.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's not what you came out with when you showed up. Now, all of a sudden, you're fucking Penelope, so you're super bad?
Dangerously close to the bad boy.
Yeah. Like, stop. Nobody likes you. Kipperoo.
Kipperoo. What an awesome exchange, saying you and I both know she's not very good at that. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
God damn, Linz, I loved it.
Me too.
So that's what's going on. So make sure everyone keeps track of the little Twitter war we got going on between Joey Janela, Kip Sabian, and Penelope Ford. It's very entertaining. One thing that is also entertaining is what in the hell is going on with Marty Scurll?
Yeah, what is going on with Marty?
Linz, what's happening? Tell me what's going through your mind. From a big Marty fan, I need to know where your head's at and where he's going.
My head is everywhere right now because I want to see him, but I'm not, like, I don't watch the things he's on now.
Yeah, like, you're not an avid viewer of Power.
No, definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I supposed to do? I feel like he should be a little more considerate and get to a goddamn TV, please.
Yeah, him being on an NWA Power shocked the living shit out of a lot of people. And then I saw something, and I don't know who the source was, so I cannot confirm if it was credible or not, but said that Ring of Honor is making a big push to try to bring Marty Scurll back.
For what?
For what?
That whole company is a fucking shit show. If he went back there, they better be offering him, like, the actual company.
I mean, the way that they've been handling all of these releases and all the contract disputes and stuff that's going on, it hasn't looked good for them at all from a business standpoint. However, Ring of Honor has had this innate ability to get so big, lose the stars, create more, lose the stars, and then initially get popular again. But I just think that when you're arguably your biggest star that you have, mm-hmm. just has no, he has no reason to be there. He really doesn't.
No, none whatsoever.
Unless he has some sort of sincere loyalty to Joe Koff and Ring of Honor. I just don't see it because he has so many opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's weighing the pros and cons of everything. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's weighing the, if I go to AEW, yeah, I'll work less, but I won't see my girlfriend as more because I live with her down in Florida.
Oh, that's so sad. Too bad about that.
Yeah, and if I stayed in Florida with NXT, I could see her all the time. I could work with her and train with her. But then again, the AEW guys are my boys. Like, he's got a lot of stuff to think about. Yeah. I don't think New Japan's on his radar at all.
No. That wouldn't make sense to me, no.
No, but the Marty watch is continuing. As of right now, he is a member of NWA Power, but a lot of people, a lot of very credible sources, do believe it's just a short stint to get in some sort of storyline with all this after he's done with Tim Storm.
Yep.
And then we'll see where he ends up. Maybe he waits until AEW's show of the year, with whatever it's called this year, in September, probably back in Chicago, probably called All In 2 or something. I don't know.
How dare you, first of all. I am not waiting till fucking September.
Hey.
No.
Hey, I don't make the decisions. I'm just giving the opinion.
How dare you even put that out into the universe?
Yeah, you're right. I probably should have took it back.
Take it back.
Linz, one thing that cannot be taken back.
Wow.
Is the Lars Sullivan controversy.
No. Once you see it, you can never go back to being the same person you were before. Let me tell you.
Once you see it, you cannot go back. And Linz, I want you to remind people of a few things that he said in the past that make this so much sweeter.
Well, he's a bit, he what, on a bodybuilding forum?
Yeah.
He talked a whole bunch of shit about gay people.
Mm-hmm.
He came off as the biggest homophobe in the world, which obviously it's because he's hiding who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sorry, there's no way that you can do what he did and be a fucking homophobe. Like, that's not how life works. I'm sorry.
No, that's not how life works. And we mentioned karma because karma came full circle. Now, for the people that are saying, just leave the man alone, let him live his life.
Mm-mm.
If you didn't hear it from us, you're going to find it somewhere else online.
This is literally what we do. We talk about what's going on. So if you don't like it, don't know what to tell you. It's a big thing. It's big news.
Yep.
He made me genuinely uncomfortable every time I saw him on screen because I remember what he said. And then oh, surprise, now he, you know, he's doing gay porn.
He's doing gay porn. There was a video that came out recently of a much younger Lars Sullivan, but by the facial features and everything.
Oh, God.
That's him.
Oh, my God.
However, yeah. However, that was Mitch, though.
Yes.
That was not Lars. That was Mitch.
How perfect of a name.
Mitch. Mitch. So the video, I'm sure you can fucking find it somewhere, but.
Just don't. Just don't. It's better off. I'm never going to be the same person I was.
No, it's basically the only little promo that you see online is him on a bed, chest to chest with another man. It's nothing wrong with gay porn, but just because of Lars's past.
Yes. It's not because he did it. If he never made comments, then this wouldn't be a story.
No.
I mean, no. People would still talk about it because it's what people do. But it wouldn't be something that's such a big deal because it's a huge deal.
It's just adding gasoline to the fire that was already started.
Yeah, like, wow, you're not only a homophobe, but you're a hypocrite, and you might be a self-loathing homosexual? Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand either, but that's what's going on in the world of Lars Sullivan at this time. However, I will like to say, and of course, Linz will agree with this, that mental health is a serious issue. So with all the shit that's going on, we just hope it doesn't spiral into something bad.
He just needs to stay off the internet and out of the public eye for a while.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think that's the best way to say it. So moving on to some good news or some happy news in the world of professional wrestling. Two of the top superstars in the WWE recently got engaged. And that being Charlotte Flair and Andrade.
Woo!
Congratulations to the happy couple. I think I saw when Charlotte was answering like Q&A questions that they asked, when was your first date or something? And didn't she say like catering in March?
Was it? Did she? I wasn't looking.
Charlotte was doing some sort of Q&A online and they asked her they asked her a lot of questions about Andrade and she was answering them. And I'm trying to find them now. Versus Sasha. Yeah, like, question. Before meeting Andrade in WWE, did you know of him or seen any match as La Sombra? She's like, I remember watching his double moonsault before a takeover. Huh. And then, God damn it. I wish I could find it. She answered so many fucking questions, and it's probably... Oh, okay. What was your dad's first impression of Andrade when he met him for the first time? And Charlotte said, oh, he thought he was a good wrestler. And, okay, here we go. Someone said, where was you and Andrade's first date? She said, catering at a show. So I don't exactly know how long ago it was. But...
Well, that's interesting.
But she said that when she first sat down with him, that she needed to use Google Translate for the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Which is pretty romantic.
Uh-huh.
Or not. Or not. That would have been I don't know. But hey, congratulations to the happy couple.
That would be like a tragedy. Like if I had to sit there and do that, or the person I was with had to sit there and do that, that would just aggravate me.
Mm. Use Google Translate?
Yeah, like I get why they did it. Like, that's really sweet that she did that.
Yeah.
But to me, I would just be aggravated because I wouldn't be able to pay full attention to the person.
That's because we both have very short attention spans.
Who, me? No.
Oh, fuck, I do.
No, I know. It runs in the family, dude. I can't pay attention to something for longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and jumping into our next subject here about not being able to pay attention for something, I don't know, pay attention to something for 5 or 10 minutes, let's talk about the state that Raw and SmackDown are currently in right now.
Do we have to?
We do, because there are a couple good things that I wanted to highlight when we talked about this, but one of the bad things that I wanted to highlight is, you know, the numbers come out and they say 2 million viewers for, I mean, 2.5 million viewers for SmackDown, 2 million viewers for Raw, which I guess the viewership has gone up a little bit. I get it, but I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's just missing something to really get me back, you know, fully watching it every single week again.
It literally pushed me away. Like, I'm good.
It pushed you away with the next thing that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
One thing that I do like that's going on is, of course, I like this Seth Rollins AOP formation. Because Seth's, yes. I think Seth's really coming into his own as the leader of the group again, you know?
It's his perfect, like, he should never be a babyface, ever. He is one of my favorite heels of all time. Mm-hmm. He's genuinely just such a dick, and it's great.
I think he's got to come back with the cackle. I saw a video from a live show that he did.
Uh-huh.
But I want the...
Yes!
I love that shit.
Yes.
I think you should come back with that. I think that's one part of Raw I like and I'm interested in. Another part that I'm interested in is I like where they're going with Andrade. I like that they gave him the title. I like to see where he goes with it. He beat Rey Mysterio in Madison Square Garden, so it made it feel like a big deal. And I don't know. I'm just excited to see where it goes because I got to only see him getting better and better and better. And you do have the people, of course, that are like, oh, it's only because he's fucking Charlotte.
Yeah.
Those people just don't watch the product. It's that's my only answer to that.
Yeah. It's the same shit. They did the same thing to Becky. Like, oh, she's only getting this and this and this because she's fucking Seth. Before their relationship was public, she was doing it all. Yep. Like, what do you mean? I hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody can have their own credibility anymore. It's because they're fucking someone. Yep. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get that. The people that say that Andrade is only getting it because of Charlotte. Have you been watching any Andrade match?
Have you ever seen NXT where he was fucking champion?
There's a reason he's at where he's at and putting on great matches with the likes of Rey Mysterio, Umberto, anyone he steps in the ring with, jackasses.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's how I feel. SmackDown, on the other hand, just hasn't grabbed me. It really hasn't.
There's nothing there.
Okay. One thing that you do have is you have Bray. I know you're not a big Bray Wyatt fan, but Bray Wyatt is champion. But you have the emergence of this. I'm not going to say different Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan with a different look, kind of the clean cut attitude. And it seems he's embracing the Yes movement again.
Thank God.
And that excites me, you know?
Same.
That excites me. It's him going up against, I believe it's him and The Fiend.
Yep.
At the Royal Rumble. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end. I don't think The Fiend loses, but we're going to get to our prediction show. We're going to have a video prediction show for the Royal Rumble because, I mean, come on. That's everyone's favorite pay-per-view of the year, and it's coming up in a little over 3 weeks.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
I can't wait. Drinking some beers, eating some food, putting a little bit of money on, each person getting a number.
Yelling at Mike.
Talking shit to Mike. That's what we...
All in one place. I'm sure pictures and or videos will be posted.
In his house.
Yeah.
Making fun of Mike in his house. We promise, Mike, it won't be that bad. From me. I had to specify. Lens. All right, let's get into what I wanted to hear the most, and let's get into the wedding segment from Raw between Lashley and Lana.
I have never been so disrespected by a fucking segment in my life. The fact that they thought that any of that was okay has me so mind blown. How dare you end the decade with that shit?
Hmm.
That was awful. It was disrespectful. And then there's, okay, you brought Liv back for this?
That was that part to me. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, first of all, no offense to Liv, not a great promo cutter. It didn't, the crying thing, like, it did, no part of that seemed even remotely real.
Mm-hmm.
Lana's just terrible on the mic, and she used to be so good when she had the Russian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's just fallen, like, it's just shit now.
Yep.
And I'm not blaming her, but she, oh god, Lashley's terrible, just fucking terrible. The makeup situation ended terrible.
Oh my god.
Like, okay, Bobby Lashley, now we know that you wear makeup to the ring. Good job.
She kissed the black off of Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and
what
everybody's
happened.
Like, oh, it's his eyebrow. I was like, the fuck it is. First of all, whoever does his eyebrows, they're clearly penciled in. You're doing them wrong and they're bad.
And how they're does his bad. Eyebrows end up on her forehead in a smudge of brown makeup?
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. All over her nose. And it oh my god, this whole thing was a goddamn train wreck.
That was funny.
If you didn't see that fucking Rusev was about to jump out of the cake.
Yeah, the giant cake.
Yeah, bullshit. Like, this was a terrible, terrible segment. And people who actually found it funny need help. Please seek help. Also, to my fellow LGBTQ members, if you are okay with this, fuck off. We have a legitimate lesbian who tried to get a storyline that got cut early, right before Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, if you wanted to do this, why not have Sonya interrupt it?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And okay, people are going to say, well, you don't know if Liv is, you know, bi or whatever. Yeah, that's fine, but she's not openly out. Why would you not put the openly out person in this?
Who if is
this
willing is to do it?
Out? Yeah, who wanted it more than anything. And you can tell by the tweet right after.
Yep.
Sonya was basically like, what the fuck? And Mandy was like, wow, okay. Like, This is, I'm not, you, how dare you do this to a whole community who you say that you give a shit about, but you go to Saudi Arabia, you do nothing for us, and then you throw this in our face? I'm so disturbed.
Okay, so there's a few things that I know you don't like about it. What would you say is the one that, what's the worst part about this? Like, what really irks you the wrong way?
You know, the worst part, I think, is the fact that we do have an openly, like, lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
On the roster.
Yeah.
Her story was cut, but this one is a thing. That bothers me.
Yeah, that was really dumb. Especially because you literally, I mean, unless it was your plan the entire time, you could have easily continued these Liv Morgan vignettes.
Yeah.
You didn't have to bring her back now. She didn't have to fit in that situation. Nobody expected it, and I can't see a lot of people that genuinely like it.
No, I think this was a mess, and I've been so excited for Liv to come back, and now it's ruined.
Yeah, I mean,
it's ruined for me. Seeing that it ruined it for me. I'm not watching Raw anymore.
It's just, bad first impression.
It's a terrible, it's a whole bad look on WWE.
Mm-hmm.
When I sit there and I agree with a fucking tweet that Joey Ryan puts out, you know it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's eye-opening when Linz agrees with the Joey Ryan tweet.
Yeah, like it's, okay, now it's 2020, but like when, we'll just say like it was 2019, like is it not time for us to move on?
Yeah. like we thought we were past this for a few years now.
Yeah, but here we go. Let's kick off the fucking new year with some bullshit. Or end the year. Whatever, man. Either way, I have a terrible taste in my mouth for Raw. I have no interest in watching it. I will continue to watch the pay-per-views because there's where the really good matches usually are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, regardless of how much I hate it right now, I'm not missing the Rumble.
Of course not.
Just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll watch SmackDown, but I can guarantee you I'm not watching Raw, which is very depressing because I love the shit with Seth. Mm-hmm. I love Becky, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I love Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe together.
How about once that storyline... Well, how about once they finally axe that storyline?
I don't know. I don't know if I can ever do it again.
Well,
I want to get rid of WWE as a whole, but I know that I can't.
Because at some point you're going to want to watch something. And, you know, this is our thing.
Exactly. This is our thing. Like, I can't stop. That's the real reason why. I'm going to be completely transparent here. I'm not going to stop because there's going to be no need for me. Because I'm not going to know what the hell is going on. But, and I need to be needed. So here I am.
But one of the very best parts about professional wrestling in this year, including last year, is that's not your only option.
Praise Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of different stuff that we get to talk about on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly basis. If you're noticing the Rundown Wrestling Podcast, it's coming out at different times here and there. We'd like to keep you on your toes, and we are incorporating video podcasts into our YouTube page. We just put up the biggest one to date, our Best of 2019 Super Show. It took a while to edit. I am not a professional, but I think it looks damn good. So make sure you go check it out. Drop a subscribe. Linz, let's move on to something that is fun to talk about. Let's move on to some NXT stuff.
All right.
And what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the NXT Year-End Awards. Now, on our Best of 2019 show, we picked a lot of these categories. Not necessarily specific to NXT, but like overall competitor of the year we chose, male competitor of the year, female competitor of the year, tag team of the year, rivalry of the year, breakout star. We did a lot of these, okay? So let's go with... There were a lot of different categories for NXT Match of the Year. And Linz, I'm going to run down them. If you want to talk about any of them in particular, make sure you stop me. But these were the contestants for NXT Match of the Year.
Okay.
Women's War Games match. Tyler Bate versus Walter, TakeOver Cardiff. Io Shirai versus Shayna Baszler, NXT TV, June 26th. Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai, TakeOver Toronto. Viking Raiders versus Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong for the NXT tag titles at TakeOver Phoenix. Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano, 2 out of 3, Stages of Hell NXT title match, TakeOver Toronto. The Forgotten Sons versus the Street Profits, Lorcan and Birch, and the Undisputed Era in the tag team ladder match at TakeOver 25. Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole for the NXT title match at Survivor Series. Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic on August 28th. Bianca Belair versus Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, and Mia Yim, NXT TV, September 18th. And the last one, the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Mark Andrews and Morgan Webster versus Gallus at NXT TakeOver Cardiff. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, Linz, if it was up to you out of those, if any of them stuck out to you, what would be your NXT match of the year?
I liked the Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano one. The
2 out of 3?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you went with that because that was the winner. At the NXT Year-End Awards, Match of the Year, the winner of that went to Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. Best 2 out of 3 falls at TakeOver New York. Next, we are going to move on to the NXT TakeOver of the Year. Linz, when I asked you your TakeOver of the Year on our Best of Super Show, I mean your favorite pay-per-view of the year, Best of Super Show, what was your answer?
Oh my God. Was it?
Oh, Extreme Rules.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. I literally sat here and I kept thinking Evolution, but that was the year before.
Yeah. Linz chose Extreme Rules. My pay-per-view of the year was a G1 Supercard, but the NXT TakeOver of the year goes to NXT TakeOver 25. Yep. which Mike and Tony were in attendance for, which was amazing. Linz, I was watching that with you at your house. It was fucking
lit. It was so good.
It was a great, great show. Moving on, we have the future star of NXT. And the nominees were Cameron Grimes, Kushida, Swerve Scott, Tegan Nox, Xia Li, Tainara Kanji, however you want to say it, Bronson Reed, Ilya Dragunov, and Dakota Kai. Linz, if you were to choose the future star of NXT, who would it be?
Well, you know I have a thing for the women, so... I mean, I want to see Dakota do really well.
Once again, nail on the head.
Oh, wow.
That's who won the Future Star of NXT award. That is Dakota Kai.
How is this happening? Like, I legitimately didn't watch it.
Linz, you're just good.
Yeah, that's true.
You are good. Moving on, breakout star of the year for NXT. Linz, who was your breakout star of the year during the Super Show?
Ron, honestly, I don't remember. It was like a month ago.
Okay, I believe yours was Rhea Ripley. And I know mine was Rhea Ripley. But Rhea Ripley was not a contestant in this. Oh, yes, she was. She was a contestant in this. All right. Breakout Star of the Year, Dijakovic, Matt Riddle, Candice LeRae, Damian Priest, Angel Garza, Rhea Ripley, Joe Coffey, Piper Niven, and Keith Lee. And who would you choose out of those?
I mean, I'd go with Rhea Ripley, but it's probably Keith Lee.
I would go with Rhea Ripley, and you are fucking correct again. Keith Lee was the winner of the Breakout Star of the Year award for the
My
NXT.
Breakout star was Joey Janela. I have the list.
That's right. Yours was Joey Janela. That's right.
I got the list just in case you want to be asking me questions now.
Okay. Linz, rivalry of the year. The candidates were Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler, British Strong Style versus Imperium, The Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong, and Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole.
Well, I think that's obvious.
That's pretty easy to tell. Yeah. The winner of rivalry of the year goes to Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole. NXT Tag Team of the Year. The contestants are the Street Profits, the Viking Raiders, the Grizzled Young Veterans, James Drake and Zach Gibson, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, or the Undisputed Era of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. And the winners of this one, Linz, what do you think?
I don't know. I know what my head says, but go ahead, tell me.
What does your head say? You've been on fire.
Man, I just love anything Undisputed.
Oh, you are right again!
Yo, what the fuck?
Yo, what the fuck? Linz is on fire right now. God, I bet people miss the sound effects, because I know I did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Linz, overall, oh no, we're not gonna go right there. We'll go female competitor of the year, and I know you're a female competitor of the year,
but the answer is Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, the answer is Shayna Baszler.
Hear it like that there's no doubt in my mind.
All right, well, you might go perfect here because we have two categories left. Male competitor of the year, just give me a guess.
Adam Cole, baby.
You are correct again! Linz has been perfect. Adam Cole getting the male competitor of the year. And Linz, here we go. Overall competitor of the year, Io Shirai, Shayna Baszler, Toni Storm, Bianca Belair, Kaylee Ray, Rhea Ripley, Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Walter, Tyler Bate, and Adam Cole.
Okay, this one's actually hard.
I know. I want to see how you do.
I have two answers. Like, it's either Shayna or it's Adam Cole.
But you know what? We're going to break it down to one answer because you're on the hot seat.
I'm just going to go with Adam Cole.
You are perfect.
I know, right?
You've gotten everything perfect. So the NXT year-end awards went as follows. Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano, best 2 out of 3 falls match, wins the best match of the year. Takeover of the year goes to Takeover 25. Future star of NXT goes to Dakota Kai. Breakout star of the year, Keith Lee. Rivalry of the year, Gargano and Adam Cole. Tag team of the year, Fish and O'Reilly of the Undisputed Era. Male competitor of the year, Adam Cole. Female competitor of the year, Shayna Baszler. And the overall competitor of the year, you get 3 of them.
You know what? I'm going to be fine with that because I can't believe I just got them all right.
You did. You nailed it.
How? Like how? Oh my God.
Because she's cheating everyone. She has her phone in front of her.
I do have my phone, but it's literally not. The screen is black.
Linz, that was the first half of the show. You know, we got a chance to go over a lot of different things that are going on in the world of professional wrestling. We went over the Charlotte and Andrade engagement, Lars Sullivan controversy, our Marty watch, Janella and Penelope going at it on Twitter, how you hated the wedding segment, and the NXT year-end awards. So we're going to take a quick break here. We are going to give a shout-out to some of our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Welcome to the Rundown.
Now we got to give a shout out to Manscaped, ladies and gentlemen. Manscaped is the number one below the belt grooming product that you can possibly get for yourself or a loved one this holiday season. Now, the new year has hit, and one of your new year's resolutions has got to be to tidy up down there, fellas. I mean, you want to get laid? I know I want to get laid, okay? So all you got to do is keep it clean down there, and the best way to do it is with the products from Manscaped. Manscaped has their Perfect Package 2.0, where they give you the lawnmower 2.0. It's a great buzzer. It cleans all your kibbles and bits down there. There are no nicks, no scratches, no cuts. And I got to tell you, I've used a lot of this stuff for myself recently. It's honestly fantastic. They have the crop preserver, the crop refresher, like a lotion. They have ball wipes just in case you need one. And guys, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So if you go to manscaped.com and you use our promo code there, Turnbuckle, you are going to get 20% off and free shipping at checkout. So if you want to buy 100 things, you're going to get 20% off. Okay. And you're also going to get free shipping. Using the code Turnbuckle lets them know that we sent you. So once again, support for the Rundown Wrestling Podcast and all the Turnbuckle Topics Network comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. So once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code Turnbuckle at manscaped.com. And before we get back to the show, we have to give one last shout out here to our friends over at ProAmBelts.com. ProAm Belts is the leader in custom belt making, custom championship belt making. You can get your own custom belt for your brand. They made us a custom Turnbuckle Topics championship belt. The thing weighs 10 pounds. The leather is quality. The metal looks great. They can make any logo look like $1 million. I have mine right above my head. I love it. They ship internationally. They ship in bulk. Any cut, any color, and they ship to you within 5 business days. And you don't have to spend $700 on a belt anymore. Fantasy football is just about over. If you need something to celebrate your championship victory by squashing all of your friends, go to ProAm Belts. Use our code TBT15 off. Once again, that's TBT15 off to get 15% off your next purchase when you go to ProAmBelts.com. Linz.
Yeah.
We're back and we're going to jump into some New Japan shit.
Well, okay. So 14 minutes ago, I have a tweet pulled up.
Let's go.
Okay. So it's from Squared Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Meltzer, of course. So take it with a grain of salt. Things have changed regarding potential AEW New Japan relationship. Deleted earlier post because it lacked detail. Meltzer claims that things have changed regarding a potential relationship between AEW and New Japan. He said that the New Japan ROH relationship is still alive, but New Japan is refusing to send over talent. He also noted how New Japan's attitude towards AEW has completely changed. They went from never acknowledging AEW to now incorporating them in the Tanahashi-Jericho match, including mentioning that Jericho is AEW world champ. He said there is no deal as of yet, but has heard there is a possibility of something happening. He also said that Tanahashi winning will be a big sign that something is happening with the two companies. Everything is open. Also, Dave mentioned that Jericho is already in Japan while Moxley isn't.
That's something we're going to jump into. That's something that we're going to jump deep into, Linz. I'm happy that you pulled that up. But first we're going to talk about Wrestle Kingdom 14. Wrestle Kingdom 14 is happening this weekend. As of today, being January 2nd, 2020, Wrestle Kingdom 14 is happening on January 4th and 5th. So this weekend coming up, and we're going to go over the card a little bit here. So the card for night one of Wrestle Kingdom, January 4th. This card. Now, there's a lot of names that you might not recognize. There's some that I might not recognize because we do have the pre-show matches as well. So on the pre-show, Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi versus Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima. So a tag match between four legends. The pre-show, Yuya Yumiura, Yodasuji, Tomoaki Hanma, and Togi Makabe versus Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors, Carl Fredericks, and Toa Hanare. So that's basically some of the young lions of the Tokyo dojo and young lions from the LA dojo versus each other. So that's pretty cool. Now, starting the main card, we have Bushi, Shingo Takagi, Evil, and Sonata versus Suzuki Goons El Desperado, Tai Chi, Murder Grandpa Minoru Suzuki, and Zack Sabre Jr. I like that, of course, because any match that Minoru Suzuki in is a spectacle, and I'd love to see him go face-to-face with Shingo a few times, so I'm very excited for that. Next, we have the match of Chaos, featuring Yoshihashi, Tony's boy, and Toru Yano, and Tomohiro Ishii, my boy, and Hirooki Goto, versus Bullet Club's Kenta, Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale. So we're getting Chaos versus Bullet Club, and any match that Yano's in, I want to see. Any match that Ishii's in, I want to see. And Kenta's been catching some steam lately, so that one I'm decently excited for. I think they could put on a good match.
Yeah, I think that'll be good.
Next, another Legends tag team match between Jushin Thunder Liger on his last leg here, Tatsumi Fujinami, The Great Sasuke, and Tiger Mask versus Naoki Sano, Shinjiro Otani, Tatsuhito Takiyawa, and Ryusuke Taguchi, the coach. So that's a Legends tag match that we're going to be seeing. Now let's get into some juicy stuff here. The IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Gorillas of Destiny, versus Finlay and Juice Robinson.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. I just wish the opponents were someone other than Juice and Finlay. But hey.
Well, agreed. But anytime.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good regardless because it's just going to be some.
Here's the thing. This is what I was going to ask you. So, you know, when Tama Tonga and Roman Reigns like went back and forth once or twice.
Yeah.
And Tonga did like the Superman fist cock on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I wonder if he comes out and does the fucking foot shuffle like Enzo.
Yo, shut the fuck up.
That would be hilarious.
Oh my God. Yo, I'm using your account so I can watch this shit.
Okay. Because I'll definitely be watching it.
Yeah.
Next match, the Texas Death Match for the IWGP United States Championship between Lance Archer and Jon Moxley. The rules are there are no pinfalls. Just submissions and not being able to answer the count of 10.
Oh my God, this is going to be insane.
Yes. Continuing on, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship between the champion Will Ospreay and the returning Hiromu Takahashi.
Okay, give it to me.
That might be the match of the show, if not for the main event.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Jay White versus Tetsuya Naito for the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, Naito deserves better than to be
You fucking hate Jay White.
Fuck Jay White, dude. Such a douchebag.
Well, that's going to come into play the next night as well. We're going to talk about that. But the main event of night one of Wrestle Kingdom 14 for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship between the champion Kazuchika Okada and challenger Kota Ibushi.
God, that is like... Like, those are the words. Like, that was somebody whispered that into my ear. That's all I'm saying. Like,
someone whisper it very softly.
You could yell it in my ear and it would still work. That match is going to be fucking incredible. Oh, God.
Incredible. If it wasn't, if the match couldn't be Ibushi versus Omega in the main event of the Tokyo Dome, I'm happy it's Ibushi versus Okada in the main event of the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, God, yes. Oh my God, I'm so fucking excited for this.
That's going to be one of the best matches of the year. I cannot wait, Linz.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm going to go out on a limb. It's probably going to be the one of the best matches of the new decade.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's going to be a match that I watch like 4 or 5 times in a day.
I love it. Yeah, I might too. Moving on. To night two of Wrestle Kingdom happening on January 5th, we get the Jushin Thunder Liger retirement match between Liger and Naoki Sano versus Dragon Lee and Hiromu Takahashi.
All right.
So Hiromu's going back to back. So is Liger. And it's cool that Hiromu's partner is going to be Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
The guy who injured him.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this. I'm really excited for the show. Next, we have the match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Championships between Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo, and Bullet Club's team of El Fantasmo and Taji Ishimori.
Okay.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm so down. I have been, ever since Fantasmo showed up in New Japan, I have been a huge fan. The things that I've seen him do have been fantastic. The one-on-one match he had against Will Ospreay at the Best of Super Juniors was effing nuts.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's a lot more good matches on night two. We still have the Rev Pro Heavyweight Championship match between Zack Sabre Jr. and Sonata.
Ooh.
So that's going to be a technical masterpiece.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't like Zack Sabre Jr., but I'm still down for it. I like watching him in the ring. I just think he's like a fucking piece of cardboard.
Zack Sabre time.
Ugh.
All right. So we got that. Then we have the Never Openweight Championship match between Kenta and Hirooki Goto. But I mean, I got to admit, Kenta has been catching fire lately, so I'm decently excited for this one.
Well, good, because you were shitting on him a while back.
I was, and then you can see... Well, I was shitting on him in the WWE. I was shitting on him when he first joined Bullet Club, but you can see he's really embracing this fucking asshole type of persona, and it's working. And just knowing that all of the Japanese fans hate him too is amazing. It's amazing. I think, well, he's doing his job.
Yep.
You know? So next we get the loser of Okada and Ibushi versus the loser of White and Naito.
Oh God, this could be beautiful or not.
Yep. Then we get the... Ishimori no Phantasma. I already went over that. We get Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Chris Jericho. If Tanahashi wins, he wins a future AEW title match, and we will get on that. Trust me. But ending night two of Wrestle Kingdom, we are going to get the first double champion who holds both the heavyweight championship and the Intercontinental Championship at the same time.
Oh, shit.
So we are getting the winner of Okada and Ibushi versus the winner of White and Naito.
Oh, my God.
What is sleep?
Do I stay up? Like, do I have to watch this live? I feel like
that's
I do.
That's what I keep saying to myself. Oh, God damn.
What time is it on?
I think it's 3 a.m.
Okay.
You'll be up!
No, I've been... Yeah, probably... I can't, though. I have to come to my parents this weekend.
Okay.
So I can't stay up that late. I could stay up that late Saturday night for all that, the second day?
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to have to. What else am I going to do? I don't have a choice.
That's true. So on Monday the 6th, New Japan is also holding their New Year's Dash event. And for those who aren't familiar with the New Year's Dash event, the New Year's Dash is the equivalent to the Raw after WrestleMania. So they have said here that the card for the New Year's Dash will be a mystery and it will not be revealed until bell time.
Holy shit.
Because that's what the shit they do. They want to make everything a surprise. That's usually when multiple heel turn happens or someone joins a new faction. It's always interesting.
Or that we find out that they're now with AEW and it becomes this holy fucking hell mess that I'm in love with. Oh my God.
Yeah, like what if on New Year's Dash, like the Bucks and the... and Omega come back out and everyone in Japan starts crying and throwing money at the ring.
Yo, 100% though. Holy shit, dude. That would already be the fucking moment of 2020.
All right, here, let's get into it because we wanted to talk about the possible partnership between the two. And because of what happened with this Jericho Tanahashi stuff, that if Tanahashi beats Jericho, he gets an AEW championship match in the future. First thing I notice is even by the slight fact of mentioning their name.
Yep.
That is a huge step because a lot of people know, and New Japan, they've been working with ROH, but they've been refusing, as you said, to send people to ROH shows. And another report came out today that, as many of you know, New Japan will not be broadcast on Access TV anymore.
Very depressing.
And we found out that, once again, I don't know if this is confirmed, but this is what Meltzer said, so take it with a grain of salt, was that Access approached New Japan and said that if you are willing to form a partnership with Impact, we're willing to keep your show on our network. And New Japan just straight up declined.
Well... The only thing they really have is Tessa. So,
well, I mean, some people could say that. I could see them getting a little bit of steam. They got Brian Cage, Sammy Callahan's doing good as champion.
Boring.
But once again, not much, you know.
There's nothing to be like, "Oh my God."
I can see this from a couple ways. So, I can see New Japan and AEW starting a relationship with each other because, number one, we found out on the last Wrestlers on the Road ordering room service that Omega and the Bucks' relationship with New Japan did not end well. It did not end well. Supposedly, the lead up to the Omega Tanahashi match, the storyline was supposed to be 50-50. Either you're on the side of Tanahashi with his whole old school wrestling mentality, or you're on the side of Kenny Omega, who's adopted this new wave, more athletic sort of wrestling style. But Kenny said that as soon as they knew that he was leaving, that changed completely. And all they did was turn Kenny into the bad guy, the heel, and kind of tarnished everything that he worked for at the end.
Yeah.
So if they do feel a little bit bad, which I can see how Kenny Omega and the Bucks were a huge reason for New Japan's spike in subscribers. A huge reason.
Facts.
So I can see them maybe feeling a little bit upset at how that ended. Secondly, Kenny loves the country of Japan. So do the Bucks. So I can see them just literally not giving up and just being like, guys, we've worked together for so long. Like, how can you just shut us out like this? You know? Yeah. Then I could see New Japan listening to it. And then just the upside when it comes to profit, once again, in my opinion. So if you have if anyone has a different opinion out there, that's fine. But when I look at this from like a profit standpoint, if New Japan advertises a show with the Bucks and Kenny on it, or just Kenny,
yeah,
instant sellout. Instant, I don't know, couple thousand more subscribers to New Japan World.
Oh, yeah.
You add the Bucks on that card. You add Cody on a New Japan card. All it's going to do is generate more money for you. You send some of your big guns over to AEW. You don't even have to send Okada. You're going to start out with Tanahashi. That'll sell out.
Oh, my God. Dude, I think that it's in everybody's best interest, mainly us.
Yeah.
But they will do. And here's my take on it. The fact that the whole stipulation, there's a future chance at an AEW championship.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a partnership in the works. Why would they say that?
There's gotta be.
There's no way that there isn't. And like, you can sit here and try and give a million reasons why there isn't, but there's one that makes it completely obvious. The title opportunity. Like, what?
And that is a question that if they don't capitalize on this, that's a question that will never have a legitimate answer.
No.
Like, why did you guys tease an AEW championship match with Tanahashi? What's the answer to that? We thought we were going to. And then what happened? Plans changed.
Well, you're all stupid.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, Linz, in all honesty, there might be some underlying reasons we're not thinking of right now.
Yeah, but this moment, there's no reason that they shouldn't do that. It would benefit everyone.
It really would. It would benefit them both.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. That's our opinions on this whole AEW New Japan partnership. We went over a little bit of the Wrestle Kingdom 14 preview that we have coming up. And Linz, let's just reminisce for a second. We got about 10 minutes till the end of the show. We had a big year in 2019.
Yeah.
We did a lot of different things that we didn't think we'd ever be able to do.
Facts.
We went to WrestleMania. We went to the G1 Supercard as members of the media. We went to Best in the World as members of the media. We got a chance to go to StarCast, interview numerous different stars there as members of the media. Champions Advantage, got full access to the Northeast Wrestling Show that was at the PNC Field recently. We've had a lot of opportunities and we've had a lot of interesting stories that go with some of our travels. What's one or two things that may have stood out to you this year during our travels up and down the East Coast?
You know, surprisingly, none of them have anything to do with WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, meeting Becky was cool, but I paid a lot of money for that, so that's not anything to be excited about.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, after meeting everybody else, it's like, wow, you really are, like, fucking charging times 1,000, so that's gross. Yeah. Yeah, I think, okay, well, no, one is technically WWE. Now, I think that one of my favorite top three moments of this whole year was when we were all together, except Chris, sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
In our hotel suite, basically.
Yeah.
At the day of Mania, where we all got to drink and hang out together. That was just fun.
There really was.
That was and Tony riding in the trunk. Like, it was just a good time. That was a genuine, like, feel good.
Yeah. So, I don't know if we told that. So,
yeah. So, there's story.
Linz and myself, we had a suite out in New York for WrestleMania.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Bob. Gil was staying in the same hotel. Mike and Tony were staying in the city, and it was the day of WrestleMania. And we're like, fuck it. Like, you guys just want a pregame before the show? We all got together and we started drinking. We got hammered before WrestleMania.
I was so drunk.
And then it came time to leave for the show. And we didn't have enough room in the car. So Tony volunteered to ride in this trunk the whole way. And I could hear him listening to like the best pops of the decade on his phone back there. And every couple minutes, I just hit the seat. I'd be like, Tony, all right? Like, yeah, I'm good.
We kept getting scared that he was going to pass out because of how drunk everybody was.
Yes.
Dude, yeah, we're trying scared. To get up to our seats.
Yeah, fuck that.
MetLife Stadium is trash, okay? Like,
it is the most confusing shit. Okay, so Linz and I had to go to like section, let's just say it was 300, right?
Well, it was 200, so, but yeah.
It was 200.
206.
So we get up to like section 185 and we're like, oh, we'll just follow the numbers and walk around till we get to 200. Or yeah, like 185, walk around till we get to 200. And we're like, okay, we're walking in the right direction, walking in the right direction. We're at like section 198 and we hit this like VIP box club that you can see on the other end. There's section 200. The whole thing's covered in glass.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, you can't go in here. We're like, we'd have to just fucking walk through.
Yeah.
I promise we won't even look at your booze.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you want? You want us to walk with paper towels in the bottom of our feet? We'll fucking do it.
Like, for real.
But no, we had to go back out, down two flights of stairs, walk all the way down to section 200, past this fucking sky high club, up two flights of stairs to find our seats.
Let me just tell you, with how drunk I was at that time, I don't know how I made it.
But you made it, and you made it to our horrendous seats.
Never again, Ron.
Never again. If you listen to one of our last episodes, our brutally honest WrestleMania experience, you're going to hear everything that we had to say about the show. Needless to say, we were sitting up in the 200 section. We were a little bit behind the stage and we couldn't see shit.
Nothing. And we weren't even in the highest part was the 300s.
Yeah.
We were in like the middle-ish.
Yep.
And, like, we could not see a goddamn thing. And those tickets were fucking expensive.
Yes.
Pissed. But, yeah.
We got railed.
Yeah, that was terrible. Terrible experience. Not doing that ever again. But.
However, the whole New York experience, I loved Access.
Oh, yeah. Access was great, except for the amount of fucking money I spent. But, yeah.
And how I lost you for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, you just fucking disappeared and then come back with bags of stuff from the fucking store. I'm in line and I'm hugging Sami Zayn and you're just like walking around aimlessly by yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So Linz had VIP tickets to go meet Becky. I'm sorry. Because she had VIP tickets, she got to get into Access early because she's a big spender and that's what she does. She balls out.
Baller.
So I'm waiting in the general admission line like a slave.
Hey, my wife was with you. You weren't alone.
I know. She kept me company. And we get into Access and Linz is like, I'm in line to meet Sammy. And I walk in and I see the line. And I was like, oh, fuck. I really don't want to wait in the line just to meet. I like Sammy.
It was like five people deep.
and I was like, I just want to see what else is going on. I get lost in this area. I'm looking at all the different, like, clothing that superstars wore during the WrestleMania matches, these setups, giant box of bootios. You can go see all the old like Ric Flair robes and all. Oh, it was so cool. So I'm just aimlessly walking around by myself. I go into the shop. I blow racks in that shop and I'm coming out and I'm holding two bags. Both of them are pretty damn heavy. And I'm like, where the fuck is she? And it didn't help that there was no service in there.
No.
So I just happened to run into her a little bit later, but we caught up and Access was a lot of fun. Linz had to wait in line for an hour and a half to meet Becky.
Worth it.
And the best part was I was 10 feet away from her at all times.
Yo, Becky honestly was so goddamn sweet. Oh my God.
That was definitely a highlight. One of my lowlights was trying to navigate that fucking subway.
We stood where we were never supposed to stand.
We were never, that's where they connect. So we were in the subway and it was packed full.
I still have the video.
Yeah, and Linz, Meg, Gil, and myself, we're standing like in the middle of the train cars where they connect. And if you look down, you could see the fucking track. And I'm losing my mind.
Absolutely.
Because, hysterical. Yeah, it was scary as hell. And then we get down to Grand Central Station. We have to find our way up to Madison Square Garden.
That was something.
Meeting Flip Gordon at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God that I fucking busted my vape. At the time, not fun. But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been outside.
So Lynn's texted me. She goes, oh my God, my fucking vape busted in my jean jacket. I have to go outside.
During Okada and White. Like, I didn't even see the end of the match.
During Okada and White. So I watched it for a little bit longer. And then I was like, all right, Lynn, I'm coming out. And I come out and like, we're one of the first couple people in like the concourse area. And here comes this guy with a suit. And we're like, what the fuck? Lynn's is like, Ron? Ron? Do we? I go, of course we do. And we walked up to him. We're like, hey, Flip, can we get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure, man. Come on. And Linz and I both went over. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. I didn't want to hit your back that hard. You just got messed up. He's like, yeah, I'm a little sore, but nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, he was very like, nice.
I'm like, all right, Flip, we're best friends now.
Yeah. And then when we were at Best in the World, was that what we were at?
Yeah, Best in the World.
Yeah, he saw me and he smirked at me. Like, he knew he met me because it wasn't long after that.
Oh, my God. I remember one of my favorite memories at Best in the World was when we were standing in line waiting to just get merch.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all of the meet and greet people walked by all of us.
I thought I was going to pass out.
And okay. So funny story for everyone. Linz is in the merch line. I'm down the hallway at the ATM because it was cash only. And as I'm at the ATM, I look to my left and somebody gets out of the elevator dressed like really nice. And it's Kelly Klein. And I go, oh, shit. What's up, champ? And she touches me my arm. She's like, thanks for coming. And I was like, oh, that's fucking sweet.
How about Dalton Castle?
I'm going to. But after Kelly Klein walked by, here comes Matt Taven walking by. Yeah. And I didn't say shit to him.
Fuck Matt Taven.
He walked right in front of me. I'm like, oh, I'm just as tall as this guy. So anyway, I get in the merch line. And at this point, she's already got her ticket to go meet Marty. And I'm standing in line to get merch. And right by me walks Brody King. And then PCO. And then I'm like, fucking hold on. And here comes Marty walking by. He didn't even get 2 feet past me. I texted Linz. I go, Linz, be prepared. And then she's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, he just walked past me.
And fucking, I was freaking out so bad that Brody King laughed at me.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. And we got our picture with Marty, but he was sitting down. Lame.
Yeah.
Lame. Linz isn't going to forgive you for that, Marty.
No, I'm not. Never. I want to fucking hug you, bastard.
Yeah, unless the next time you meet her, you give her a hug.
Yeah, then we're fine. Yeah, there will be a next time.
So at Best in the World, we got done with our meet and greets and we're walking down the steps to our seats. And here comes fucking Dalton Castle walking up the steps filming a vlog. He's got the camera on himself and I'm wearing a Villain Enterprises shirt. And I go, Peacock! And he looks over at me. He goes, ah, I hate your shirt. Or what did he say?
Something like that, yeah.
He's like, ah, nice shirt or something stupid. But the interaction was cool. Yeah. It was nice to get close to all of them. So Best in the World was a lot of fun. It was a good show.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun at that one.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that the highlight, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me, the highlight of my 2019 was StarCast.
Absolutely.
That was the best time. And I will never, never stop thanking StarCast for that opportunity because what we got to do was fucking unreal.
It really was.
I will continue really to go to every StarCast that I possibly can for the rest of my life now.
And this is just like, I guess this is just a little tip for everybody out there. If you're having trouble growing your brand, if you're having confidence problems, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people that may reach out to ask for help. Hey, what should I do here? Do you mind retweeting this? How'd you get so big? Stuff like that. And I'm not going to sit here and pat ourselves on the back. It was a lot of hard work. Constantly making different content, making different contacts, figuring out who we need to speak to, how to get sponsors, how to actually profit off of doing some of this stuff. And in the midst of just busting our ass 24/7 to make Turnbuckle Topics one of, I guess you could say, the most entertaining professional wrestling content brands out there, is we were given opportunities to cover wrestling shows and cover decently big ones like the G1 Supercard at MSG, Best in the World. But StarCast was a lot of fun because it really showed the pinnacle of what you can do if you have a little bit of drive behind you. I mean, Linz and I, we are literally cousins where we would see each other 3 to 4 times a year at family holidays. We'd talk here and there. You know, one day we just struck up a conversation. We're like, oh shit, you like wrestling? You're like, I fucking love it. And then decided to make a Twitter page and wanted to make a page where people can come see the news, certain opinions on news, funny photos, podcasts, different edited artwork. It's just stuff like this where wrestling fans come and they say, okay, this is cool. I'm going to follow them. So with all the hard work that we put in over the past 2 years, covering these media events were huge for us. And when we got to go to StarCast, Linz, we had full access to some big name stars.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, I shook hands with JR, could have gotten an interview with Hangman if he wasn't so goddamn busy.
Yeah.
We got an interview with Britt Baker, Joey Janela, Ty Dillinger, Nyla Rose. We saw Conrad Thompson. We spoke to Alicia Toot a little bit. Linz got a chance to talk to Nyla, talk to Sunny Kiss. Linz took a picture with a fan. Gil took a picture with a fan. It was just...
It was overwhelming, but in the best way possible.
It was. It was overwhelming in the best way possible. And when we received our media passes for this event, it was a big sense of pride.
Yeah, it was a very surreal moment. Like, I remember you handing me mine, and I literally, like, I got teary-eyed.
Yeah, and for all the different accounts out there, all the different people out there, now, in no way, shape, or form have we reached the pinnacle that we want to
get
to.
Not even close.
No. Now, of course, would we want thousands and thousands and thousands of subscribers on our podcast? Yeah. Would we like to get hundreds of thousands of subs on YouTube and monetize our product? Yeah. We're not there yet.
Not yet.
But just the drive that you need to have and the determination and knowing what you would like other people to see is a big part of what you're doing. So don't take this as us saying we're the best. You should learn from us. These are just a few tips for people that may have a little bit of trouble growing their brand and really getting their feet in the water and trying to get their foot in the
door. But a little side note to that, don't step on our toes because you'll disappear. Just saying.
It's happened once. It'll happen
before.
Fucking
happen again.
It'll happen again. Linz, this episode of The Rundown, our first episode of 2020, we got a chance to talk about some Twitter wars that are going on, where we think Marty's going, Lars Sullivan doing some questionable stuff, that wedding segment that sent you off, the NXT year-end awards, the preview for Wrestle Kingdom 14, the two-day event, New Japan and AEW, a possible partnership, and Linz and I's favorite personal moments of our trips and our coverages of all these different wrestling shows in the year 2000. And 19. So, Linz, as always, as we always sign off here, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
What's going on, wrestling fans? If you like that episode of the Rundown Wrestling Podcast, then you're probably going to like a whole lot more. Remember to go back in our archives and find some episodes that you might be interested in. Also, make sure to check out Champions Advantage Podcast, Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio, and the Bearded Wrestling Podcast each week on the Turnbuckle Topics
Professional Wrestling Podcast Network. Remember to go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletopics to get some brand new merchandise designed by myself, Linz, and Chris Pinero. You can find this podcast on all major platforms, iTunes, Google, Spreaker, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember to follow us on all social media platforms. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of them. Just search Turnbuckle Topics and you'll see that familiar red and black logo. So ladies and gentlemen, remember to go back and listen to any episodes of the Rundown that you might see are interesting to you, and remember to follow us on all social media channels. Thank you for being a supporter of Turnbuckle Topics, and we'll see you next week.